2016 is the centennial year of the Pulitzer Prize. And so we're going to spend some time with past winners of the Pulitzer Prize who are connected to Georgia. It's a new series that we are calling Pulitzer Peaches. Our guest this morning is journalist Bill Dedman. His series on the discriminatory lending practices of Atlanta's banks and mortgage lenders won him the Pulitzer Prize for investigative reporting in 1989. His stories were published in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, and we're honored to have Bill on the program. Hi.
Hi, good morning, Adam.
Good to have you. Can you just, first of all, summarize what were your big takeaways from your reporting? What were the heads that you mounted on spikes?
Well, we weren't really having barbecues of sacred cows, but the main shock to people was that in the city known as the city too busy to hate, that the banks and largest savings and loan companies were making loans, home loans, in middle income and poor white neighborhoods, but not making loans in the middle or upper middle income or upper income black or integrated neighborhoods. The map of where the Atlanta banks weren't lending money and the map of where black people lived in Atlanta were the same map.
Right. And this is a practice known as redlining?
Yes. And redlining implies a conscious decision, someone drawing a line on a map. We lend on this side of the line and not on the other. And we didn't prove that there was a conscious intent. And we didn't, in fact, I credit the explanation of bankers that they just didn't know that there was money to be made in black neighborhoods in Atlanta. They had made an association, a common association, that black meant poor. My eyes were opened after our stories ran. I went along, bankers from Bank South let us go on a bus tour of some very affluent neighborhoods in South Atlanta. Guilford Forest was one. And you could tell, and the bankers were saying, hey, these kitchens are nicer than our kitchens. And they had no idea that these neighborhoods existed.
How did you collect the data to accomplish this piece of reporting?
Well, I could tell you about 8-inch floppy disks. It's been that long ago. there had been a couple of academic studies in Baltimore, in Philadelphia, and what we realized was that if they could do it, we could do it too. And banks had to report then, and other anybody else that got deposits, like a savings and loan, had to report where they made loans by census tract, so you could match it up to the demographics. The key thing that we did was to not look at the poor areas and not look at the rich areas. We were looking at middle-income areas where people could afford homes. That was the key sort of decision that we made.
Why?
Well, because that was where it was comparable, and that was where you didn't have a debate about, well, can these people afford homes? There were homes being bought and sold by black Atlantans in those middle and upper-income neighborhoods. The market share, however, of the banks and the savings and loans was nearly zero.
How did you first get onto the story?
Well, you know, I was in a little neighborhood called South Atlanta with a Methodist minister. I was doing a story, probably the required story before the Democratic National Convention that year in '88. by the way, there are poor people in Atlanta. I was standing in a relatively poor neighborhood doing a story about housing. And the minister was doing, he was building houses and then selling them to people. And he said, but they can't get loans. People here can't get loans in this neighborhood, even though their mortgage payment will be far less than they've been paying in rent. And I said, well, gee, this doesn't look like such a prosperous neighborhood. To me, if I had any money, I don't think I'd lend any money here. And he said, well, I can see your point in a way, but the banks in Atlanta don't lend money in Cascade Heights either. In Hank Aaron's neighborhood. They don't lend money in Adams Park in an integrated neighborhood. And I said, well, I think that would be a story. So that's how it started.
Yeah, we're speaking to Bill Dedman. He's an investigative journalist. He won a Pulitzer Prize for his reporting about redlining in Georgia bank lending to prospective homeowners all the way back in the 1989. And we are talking to Bill as part of a series that we're doing, talking to the Georgia winners of Pulitzer Prizes. We're calling it Pulitzer Peaches, and we're doing this on the occasion of the 100th anniversary of the Pulitzer Prize itself. And Bill, as a result of your reporting, or at least partially as a result of your reporting, some changes were made to the Federal Home Mortgage Disclosure Act, right?
Yes, so sort of all hell broke loose for a week or two there in Atlanta. You know, we had marches, we had breakfasts with the bankers where politicians made hay, calling them in to grill them. There was an effort to move some money into the black-owned banks in Atlanta, which did lend money in black neighborhoods and had practically a zero default rate. Then the Congress did change the law to increase disclosure of applications for loans. We had that information, for example, for the two biggest savings and loans in Atlanta. They were rejecting 5 or 10% of white applicants for home loans. That's people who've gone through the process, filled out an application, and they were rejecting 21 to 36% of black applicants. Now we have that information for every lender in America. So one of the things that this led to was more reporting by more journalists and think tanks and the Federal Reserve and others around the country, greater disclosure.
It's just a tremendous achievement for any investigative reporter, but it's particularly amazing when we consider the fact that you were 29 years old when you won the Pulitzer Prize. That must have been utterly life-changing. Do you remember the moment when you got the call?
Well, the main thing that stands out to me is that my son, I was just turned five. Justin had helped me color in the census tract map sitting on the floor of the art department at the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, then on Marietta Street. And he misheard the announcement. And when he realized what we'd actually won, he was so upset because he thought we had won the Publishers Clearinghouse sweepstakes. And he was planning to buy the Atlanta Braves. That was his plan. You know, a word has to be said here for the editor at the Journal Constitution at that time, Bill Kovich, who was pushing back against the idea that we don't go where the business leadership is. There were good stories done at that time on Coca-Cola Company and others, and I saw proofs of little charts that ranked the banks on their lending in black and middle-income neighborhoods. And I saw those little charts being X'd out by one editor from the old regime on the proofs. That is, they come back and, well, we're going to show the general pattern, but let's not name individual
banks. We're
going to
call out specific banks that might want to advertise in our paper.
It's one thing to say the banks, and it's another thing to say Citizens and Southern and Bank South and... Yeah. Bill Kovich was editing those charts back into the story with a very neutral tone, by the way. We didn't even call them bankers. If you go back and look, the stories are online called The Color of Money. And we didn't even call them bankers. Bill said, you know, people don't like bankers. It's a pejorative right. term. So we called them banking executives. The tone was a very neutral tone. And the stories were done as carefully as we could. But he was going to name names, and he deserves credit for that.
Absolutely. Investigative reporting is incredibly expensive. It generally, as an act unto itself, is a huge money loser for news organizations. The investigative capacity at the AJC has been tremendously diminished from back in the late 80s when you won your Pulitzer Prize, as it has at every major newspaper in the country. Do you think that you could have done this story if you'd been working at the paper today?
I think that good work has been done there. I have friends and colleagues there who I know have done good investigative work that you've reported on in the last few years. So it hasn't dried up. And, you know, this past summer, the National Meeting of the Investigative Reporters and Editors Group, IRE, had its biggest mm-hmm. attendance ever. And that wasn't just because we met in New Orleans. Good investigative reporting work is being done, especially with new tools, no longer the primitive database work that we were doing 30 years ago. But with new tools and a lot of enthusiasm from young people, there's good investigative work being done, even in an environment where your traditional news organizations have cut staff. But even when they've cut staff, often they realize that what distinguishes us from somebody who's just aggregating our content online is the investigative reporting.
In our last minute here, Bill Dedman, where is he now?
Oh, I'm at Newsday in New York, working on a story that we've been working on for more than a year. A team of four people sitting here working on a story that more than a year has gone by, And so don't tell us people aren't still doing serious investigative reporting based on public records, carefully, going through the information and then trying to find some way to tell it in the new ways, right? Video, online, maps, timelines, all the new tools, but still the same careful reporting. That's what we're trying to do.
All right. Well, fingers crossed for a second Pulitzer Prize for you. Bill Dedman is a senior investigative reporter at Newsday. As you just heard, he won the Pulitzer Prize for investigative reporting in 1989 for his series on the discriminatory lending practices of Atlanta's bankers and bank executives, I should say, and the mortgage lenders as well. Bill, it's just been an honor to talk to you.
Thanks, Adam. It's a pleasure.